Good morning, church family. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6, and unless you're very new here, you know that we've been going through this chapter for quite some time. I believe, if I'm counting correctly, this is number 15. As we are coming to the end of Ephesians, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word as we read Ephesians chapter 6? Beginning with verse 18, and as you know, verse 18 is the closeout from the armor of God. We know that he tells us that we are to wear the full armor of God, but he also closes out saying that without prayer, it's pretty useless. Prayer covers it all. So he says to stand, having our waist girded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And then he says in verse 18, pray sometimes. Thank you. If your pastor ever messes up, I pray that you will tell him in love, nope. Praying occasionally. What does this say, folks? Always. Do you know what always means? It means always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We'll talk about what that means. And then Paul adds in there, and for me. And what does he ask them to pray for? That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Would you pray with me? Father, your word enriches us if we will let it come into the soil of our heart. So soften our hearts. We ask you, Lord, even as we are watering it with prayer, that the seeds of your word would sprout and give us a deeper understanding of what your word means and how we apply it. Because, God, we don't do that well unless you're involved in it. You said pray always from your word in the Spirit. So Lord, send your Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. Amen. Speak to our hearts. Pierce our conscience. And move us to be closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You remember the last time we got together, I talked to you about cetaceous mammals. Do you remember? We talked about whales and that they are air-breathing mammals who live their entire life in the sea. But in order to live, they have to do what? Ascend to the surface to get a breath of air before they can successfully return to the depths to live in the ocean. Well, you recall that as a Christian, we have a similar need. We're spiritual beings living in a physical world, but as spiritual beings, we need to ascend to the surface of God. Amen? And we need to approach His throne, and we need to breathe in the air of prayer. Because prayer not only unites us with God, it actually brings us to a point of fellowship with God, and we need to come to Him with prayer, in prayer, hearing His heart, hearing His thoughts, in order for us then to return back below to live successfully in a physical world. As God's children, what we're saying is prayer is the air that we breathe. And Prayer is the closing theme of the armor of God and for the entire book of Ephesians. And Paul tells us, if he doesn't spell it out just exactly, I don't know what you're reading, because he says that spiritual victory involves a commitment to prayer. You can wear all that armor, but what good are you if you're dead on the inside of the armor? Prayer is to be woven into. Prayer is to be rolled over. Prayer is to be around everything that we do. It is our strength. It's our power. When a believer fails to pray, they are literally holding their breath spiritually, and nothing good happens when that occurs. Prayer is the breath. Are you with me? Prayer is the breath that sustains us for daily spiritual life. Look at verse 18 again with me. Hope you have your Bibles open. If you don't, open it back up to Ephesians chapter 6 and look again at verse 18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he tells us right here what the frequency of our prayer is to be. And our frequency is to be when? How? How much? Always. We are to pray always. Prayer is the key to successful spiritual battle. We've talked about the armor for weeks. We've talked about the armor for months. But prayer is the catalyst that implements all of God's spiritual resources, including the armor. You remember we said that there was over 30 different spiritual resources listed in Ephesians. And without prayer, none of them get implemented in our life. Now, we all come from a different culture of prayer. Every family does it a little differently. Amen? Some people read from a prayer book. Some people read a prayer because they feel like, well, I just need the guidance of something. Some people only pray at church. Some people only pray around their table. My family grew up praying around the table and at bedtime. And in the mornings, if things weren't quite as crazy as they normally would, we would pray before we headed out. But it didn't always happen in the mornings. But I know this. The key is this. There is no time in our life that we should not be praying. However you do it, pray. There's nothing wrong with setting a specific time for prayer. Around a meal, before a meal, at the table, at night before you go to bed, in the morning when you get up. But I want you to remember this. Even though you might set specific times, we're reminded that when the church was established, you go back and look in Acts. When the church was established, they were told what? To be praying at all times. Pray at all times. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The apostle said, we will pray continually. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, he said, we are to watch and pray always. Romans 12:12 says, we're to be continuing diligently in prayer. Colossians 4:2, we are to be devoted to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Acts, if you want to go back and read chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, we can do that now if you'd like. Or you can trust me that it tells us that the church was to be praying constantly. Constantly. Have you ever wondered what it means to be praying at all times? Have you ever thought, Lord, I'd like to be praying at all times? Even while you're driving, I've seen people that I believe are praying while they're driving, but they're closing their eyes. Oh, you said, Pastor, I thought that was you. It may have been. People pray a lot with me when I drive. Praying at all times, he said. All times, even when you're driving. Even when you're not driving. But praying at all times probably makes more sense to us if you understand this. That's the purpose of prayer. If you understand the purpose of prayer, you'll begin to understand why we need to be praying all the time. So what's the first purpose of prayer? Communication with God, first and foremost. To communicate with God. Do you know the number one problem in our world? Communication. Number one problem in marriage, guess what it is? Number one problem in a church, guess what it is? Number one problem with companies and employers and employees, communication. When you don't communicate or you don't communicate well, there are problems. So the first purpose of prayer is to communicate with God. And not just you to God, but God to you. Prayer has very little to do with formulas and repetition. I'm not saying it doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm saying it has very little to do with formulas and repetition. And it has everything to do about being God conscious. Are you with me? Realizing that we are not only in the presence of God, but God is totally focused on you. Your whole life, my whole life, should rise up before God in communion. When you are God conscious, anything that you experience, no matter what it is, can become a prayer, or maybe even should become a prayer. Like talking to your best friend. You can pray while you play golf. You can pray while you fish. You can pray while you work. You can pray while you're at home cooking, cleaning. You can pray anytime, and you ought to be praying every time. If you are tempted and you're feeling, oh my gracious, these thoughts are coming into my mind. This is the last time that I'm thinking about praying. Listen, it ought to be the best time for you to begin to pray. Oh God, help me. Satan is all over me. Would you give me the strength not only to resist, but would you turn my mind to something else? Amen? You ever been in the middle of a prayer and one of those just evil thoughts comes to your mind and you're going, where did that come from? Come on, am I the only one that that's ever happened to? Maybe I am. Lord, help me. That's your prayer. Lord, help me. What about any other activity in your life? If you see something good, your thought ought to turn to prayer. God, you are the source of every good and perfect gift. Amen? That ought to be your prayer. When you see evil, you ought to say, Lord, would you turn this into something good? Take this and make something good from it, Lord. When you meet somebody who doesn't know Jesus, your prayer should be, draw them to you, Lord, and if possible, use me to meet the need. When you're in trouble, pray, God, you are my deliverer. Please show me the way. Meet the need. Give me wisdom. When you do that, your very life becomes a breath of prayer. As you're walking, as you're talking, as you're living, all of life's thoughts, yes, all of life's thoughts, actions, and circumstances become a point of communication with God when we are God conscious. It's as natural as breathing. Everything turns to the Lord. That's exactly what Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 means when it says, to set your affection on things above. Set your affections on things above. Let your love be about what God is doing. And if it's not, breathe a prayer to say, Lord, take me back there. That's what praying always means. Every living and breathing moment becomes a prayer to communicate with God and to get His direction, literally, moment by moment. Isn't that the whole point of living a Christian life? To be as close to God as possible? Yes or no? Yes. Then we need to be turning our thoughts to the Father in prayer constantly. Now the second purpose, what's the first purpose? Communication. Communication. The second purpose is fellowship. Not just communication, but fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that God wants your fellowship. God wants to fellowship with you. He set a time for you throughout the day, every day, to be with you. Will you be with Him? He wants to be with you. That's why He saved you. Hello? God didn't save you to say, no, now go on and do your own thing. He saved you because He wants to be with you. There is no greater expression of fellowship with God than prayer. Can you imagine being married to someone but not communicating? Don't look left or right now. Am I right, though? Can you imagine being married but not communicating? Friends, if you're not communicating, it's not much of a marriage. If you're not communicating with God in prayer, it's not much of a relationship. If you're saved, if you are truly saved, and you are not communing with God, did you know that you are denying God the very purpose for which He redeemed you? Fellowship with God. That's why we are to pray continually. The purposes of prayer are communication to God, from God, and fellowship with God. Now, I want you to look again at that scripture. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Folks, he tells us that we need to be persistent in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, the root word of that word continue that we talked about there in Colossians 4, 2, that root word is kartereo. Now, listen, I had to look it up to see exactly, but it means steadfast and it means constant, continuing, steadfastly, consistently. You know, that's the exact same word that was used of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 when it says that he continued in God, that he endured for God, that he stayed in it for God. That's the word, continuing. And it says that we too are to continue earnestly in prayer. So he adds to it the continue earnestly, which literally means to be intense, to be all over it. And then he adds to be watchful, to be vigilant, to be aware, to be alert. So many things about prayer. There's no way in the world I could cover it all today. And if I did cover it all today, you wouldn't remember any of it. So I'm going to tell you, here's the things that we need to remember today, and give me permission to come back again and share more about prayer. Because I think Paul's indication here is that prayer is not always easy. Amen? Do you always feel like praying? Do you always feel like you can just take time to pray? Do you always feel like your spirit is in that place where you can commune with God? Or are you like me? You have to constantly work at it. You have to come before God and say, God, my heart's just not very receptive. Lord, I need your help with this. Sometimes we just have to work at communication with God, just like you have to work at communication with your wife or your husband or your kids or anybody else. You got to work at it. Why? Because it's worth it. It is so worth it. A life of prayer requires perseverance. I love that verse, Romans 12, 12. It tells us that we are to rejoice in hope. We are to be patient in tribulation. We are to be continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. The Bible never says it's easy. Never said it was easy. Just said it's worth it. It just says it turns to a blessing. It's required for a deeper walk with God. It's required for a deeper fellowship with God. It's required for a deeper communion with God. Keeping your heart open in communication to God in prayer brings a spiritual trust to God. It brings a clarity. And folks, when that happens, you can't help but be blessed by God. Because as you're drawn to Him, He is ever more in your life. The Bible tells us that persistent faith and persistent faithful prayer makes a difference. In Luke chapter 11, I love what Jesus tells. He tells of what happened when he said that at midnight, A man comes banging on his neighbor's door. Bangs on the door at midnight. He's banging on the door because he had guests come in and he doesn't have enough food to feed them. So at midnight, he bangs on his neighbor's door. And the friend says, as any one of us do, he hollers out the window and he says, "The doors are shut. I am in bed with my family. Go away." That's it. Go back. Read it there. Luke chapter 11. The friend says, "House is shut. I'm in bed." But what does the guy do? He just keeps on banging. Just keeps on knocking. He says, "I said go away. The house is shut up." So what does the man do? He gets up. And he gives the man what he needs. Why? Because he is so persistent, he knows that he's going to have to give him something or he's going to be awake all night. And then, in Luke 18, Jesus tells about a woman who came to a judge who was unjust. He did not care whether he made good decisions or not. He was probably on the take. If he's unjust, he was. But it says that this lady came to the judge time after time after time, and he just ignored her need until finally the judge does what she needs and takes care of what she's asking for. Now, what in the world was our Lord trying to tell us with these stories? He's trying to tell us this, that if an unjust judge will give something to a persistent lady, what will a just God give to his own child who has a need? He's saying that if a sleepy man who's already comfortable in bed, I can relate. I don't even like to answer your text once I've gone to bed and sleep. But if a sleepy man comfortable in bed will get up to give bread to his neighbor, what will a loving father give to his own son if he says, "Father, I have a need"? That's what he's saying. Our Lord is saying that persistent, faithful prayer makes a difference. Persistent, faithful prayer. When we do not give up, but we endure as Moses did in prayer, God's promise is that he will not only hear our prayer, but he will answer our prayers. And all God's people said, amen. For believers, dear friends, life should be a constant exercise of prayer. Why is it that we can know so much about the Christian life? We can know so much about the Bible. We can quote so much scripture, and yet we fail to think about praying. We fail the day by not taking our needs and our thoughts to God in prayer. Remember, the purpose of prayer is to draw you into the presence of God. It is to make you think. It is to make you understand. It is to make you aware that God's presence is with you everywhere, all the time, in every situation. Sobering, amen? But because of that, listen, every tiny thing that comes into your life provides you with an opportunity to pray. It should remind you, I need to take this to the Father. Oh, that decision's too small. No, listen, there is no decision too small. There is no circumstance too small or too big. The question is, will we take our request to God? The question is not, does God want to hear it? The question is, will we let him hear it from our very mouth and heart? Got a question for you. Here we go. Question. And I hope you don't mind, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. But how many of you have been breathing for this last hour? There's some hands that didn't go up. Y'all, would y'all check them? Right? You don't have to ask, are you breathing? Why? It's what we call an autonomic nervous system response, right? You breathe. You don't have to think about it. Just kind of like right now, make your heart beat. You don't have to. It's an autonomic, whatever I said a while ago. Your autonomic nervous system makes your heart beat. You breathe. Your cells reproduce. It all happens without you saying, do it, right? You have been breathing for this last hour. We need, dear friends, to pray so often that our spiritual system automatically kicks into prayer no matter what else is going on. If we will think about the presence of God, if we will think about the love of our Lord, if we will think about our need for Him, we will pray more often. Prayer is not just an activity. It's your spiritual breath. If you don't pray, you're not breathing spiritually. You are suffering from the lack of spiritual oxygen, the presence of God. And prayer is not just something we do. It's a way of life. And it's not just a way of life. It is spiritual life. You've wondered, you know, why am I so spiritually dead? Breathe! Breathe! Then it says in verse 18, one more thing that we'll cover today. He talks about the variety of prayer. He tells us there, he says that we need to pray all prayer and supplication. Now, I'm going to be brief about this because I'm going to come back and do this again. The word translated prayer, he says, all prayer and supplication, it is a general word for prayer that means requests. You did that this morning, many of you, as we knelt right here, and we took out those little slips, and I began to pray for requests. We do that every Sunday, right? Lord willing, every Sunday we bring requests. That's what he means by prayer. And then he says prayer and supplication. Now that word supplication is the Greek word desis, and it means specific prayer. Specific means, well, I'm praying for the health of my family. That's general. But I'm praying for the heart surgery that my friend or my dad or my whoever is going to have. And I'm praying that you help that doctor, the surgeon, the technicians. Would you be with the equipment so there's no, I mean, you get down to the nitty gritty. And especially if it's your heart surgery, amen? That's specific prayer. So there are general prayers and there are specific prayers. And he said, praying always, praying when? For all general prayer and supplication, specific prayers. You know what he's saying there? He said, pray all the time with any kind of prayer you've got and whatever prayer you want, just pray. Amen? There are different ways to pray. Some people think, you know, the only way to pray is to close your eyes and to bow your head, to fold your hands, and to breathe a very quiet prayer to God. What's wrong with that? Not a thing. What's right about that? Everything. Nothing wrong with that. But there are different ways to pray. You can pray standing up. I walked in on my dad one day. He was standing in the middle of his bedroom, best he could, and he had his face up to the ceiling and his hands up like this. And I said, Dad, are you okay? He said, I'm praying. I said, okay. Anything else? He said, I thought if I put my hands up like a cup, maybe it'd fill me. I got over next to him. Whether you're sitting with your hands folded in your lap and your eyes closed, whether you have your head bowed, or whether you're standing with your arms raised to heaven, what's the right way to pray? All of the above. What if Peter had gotten all caught up in being able to sit down, fold his hands, and close his eyes when he stepped out of that boat and it began to sink? He would be calling him St. Peter before he even finished the day. He'd have drowned. Instead, he prayed the prayer that was appropriate. Help! shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. We're to pray at all times, in all situations, in public, in private, with loud cries or whispers, whatever's appropriate. Deliberate prayers where we write it out and we don't want to miss a thing, but God, I've got my friends and they have these needs. Lord, I'm going to list them down. Or maybe it's just a spontaneous prayer in the middle of Kroger or HEB or wherever you happen to be, and you see someone and they say, pray for me. You say, okay, how about right now? You say, well, people will look at us. Praise God. Maybe they need prayer too. There can be prayers of request. There can be prayers of thanksgiving, confession, and praise. You can be kneeling or standing, lifting your hands, lying down, but we are instructed to, without question, pray at all times, and he says, in all ways. But remember this, as we close this out this morning, remember John 15:5, and by the way, it's also, this premise is also listed in at least 26 other verses that I found. It reminds us that without God, we can do nothing. We're dependent on the power of God. Even the tiniest spiritual activity requires God to be involved in the process, or it will not be successful. God must be involved. Without Him, you can do nothing. So because we're dependent on God, listen to this. I'm wrapping it all up. Here's the summation. Because we are so dependent on the power of God, does it not make sense that we must let everything become a prayer? Everything. Because we are dependent on God for every moment of every day. Prayer is not just a way of life. Prayer is our life. Prayer is our spiritual breath. And since prayer is our spiritual breath, we are to pray throughout the ebb and flow of life in every situation that we are in. Can I get an amen? With that then, would you join me in a breath of prayer? Pray with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads lifted, hands raised, eyes open, whatever you feel led to do. Here we go. Would you join me at the throne of God? Father, we, your people, are reminded how badly we need you. Your Holy Spirit, your love, your care, your strength, your power. And God, without you, we are powerless. Give us your Holy Spirit strength. And even right now as we pray, would you fill us with you? Lord, there are folks here this morning who need to ask you for forgiveness. We all do. There are folks here this morning who need to ask for direction. There are some here, Lord, who haven't been to your throne in so long, they forgot how important it is to pray. Lord, this morning, would you help them to turn their hearts to you in prayer? And Lord, as they approach your throne, let your Holy Spirit begin to peel back the barriers. And Lord, would you help them to just confess their need? And God, would you fill them with your love and your Spirit? Bring them home, God. Oh, Lord, I see you running to some already in my heart. God, you are running to the road to meet your prodigal. Lord, and as they come, fill them up. And Lord, would you help us every moment of this day and each day following to remember that we do not spiritually live without a constant breath of prayer. Now I ask you, would you join me with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Did God speak to your heart? Not did Gary speak to your heart. That's worthless. But has God spoken to your heart this morning? Is there a decision that you need to make as you approach His altar, as you speak to Him? Has His Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to do? Will you be obedient to it? Maybe it's to come and kneel and pray at this altar. Perhaps it's to come and be prayed over. Perhaps it's to ask, Lord, what would you have me do? And then be obedient, whatever it is He calls you to.